Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to hour two of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7. Excuse me, The Ticket. I need a drink. Pardon me one second. All right, much better. It's the noon hour, and that means it's lunch. The lunch hour of Adam Carriker. The Adam Carriker Show here on The Ticket is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now located at two, that's Dos locations, at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2. One more note, we will be on location once again here in the near future at Mulberry Barbecue's South location. All right, real quick, before we dive into everything in hour two, from Alexi Rodriguez, clip. It was weird to see her in the stands at a Nebraska volleyball game this past weekend, but she got interviewed briefly. We got a clip from that. All right, reacting to Matt Rhule's press conference. Hopefully today, if we can't, we'll get to it tomorrow, but I feel like we can get to it today, hopefully, depending on when he wraps everything up. All right. And Nebraska, are they ready for Michigan? Before we dive into all that, is there anything off the text line, and we'll make sure that we're officially caught up on everything? Like you said, the Brett McMurphy thing was a joke about Notre Dame.
Yeah, it was.
Are you sure?
Yeah. So Anthony Portland says, I think NBC determines if Notre Dame joins the conference. But yeah, that was, I think, an attempt at a joke to try to get an auto bid because they're not going to get one, obviously, at this point. So we'll see. Tommy says, I'm annoyed. Nebraska moved down to like 35, 36. They should be no worse than 26 in the poll.
I like that. So we're just right outside of the top 25. We're sliding and Notre Dame is still ranked. But they played slightly tougher schedule so far. I still don't know how they're ranked. I'm not saying we should be ranked. I still don't know how they're ranked. I know how. Let me take that back. I know how. I just don't think they should be. Anything else?
Scott in Minnesota said Fleck would do well in UCLA. And Old Dad 34 says rumors are that Vic goes back to Virginia Tech. What do you think?
That could be interesting. I think he needs a little bit more experience, though. Like, it's really his first season ever as a head coach in college football right now. At a lower level school, I would think that they'd want him to get a little bit more experience before they make him the man at Virginia Tech. All right. A Power Four program. It's had a lot of success. And yeah, he led them to a national title game versus Florida State. Do you disagree?
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, Norfolk State starting 1-2 so far this year. That doesn't mean it won't happen. I mean, look what the Deshaun Foster thing. I mean, that's basically what happened.
What was the thing you read right before that? Oh, PJ Fleck at UCLA? That would be a good fit. Like, I feel like he would fit LA. I do feel like that would be a good fit.
Why do you think PJ Fleck is a good fit for LA in general?
I got to be honest. I can't believe he's fit in at Minnesota as well as he has. He just finds ways to win games. To me, he's not a great fit at Minnesota on the surface. Turned out not half bad. Just kind of, you know, flamboyant out there, a little different. I don't want to say eccentric because maybe eccentric, but not like a negative way. Although there's a lot of people who don't like PJ Fleck a ton. I'm personally not one of those people that feels that way. I get tired of him beating us with lesser talented teams. That's what bothers me about him. Just means he's a good football coach. I just feel like his entertaining personality would fit well in Los Angeles, California. How about that?
Yeah.
Do you agree or no?
I mean, I can see it. Again, he's kind of been Midwestern in his success so far, but that definitely could be something. I'd be so intrigued just to see it. And I don't know. UCLA again feels lost somehow. I mean, there's so much sunshine and recruits everywhere. For some reason, UCLA just can't figure it out.
So my earliest memories of football, I was born in 84. So, like, by the time I could start, like, understanding what was going on the TV, it was like Cade McNown and UCLA playing Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl, like, almost every year and winning Pac-10 championships. And even 99, you know, they had one loss. They won the Pac-10 championship. I think they were number 5 in the country. Lost to Wisconsin and Ron Dayne, the Heisman winner that year in the Rose Bowl, in a great game. J.J. Stokes, like, all those guys. Deshaun Foster. A great running back. I still have those early memories. I always liked UCLA better than USC. I like their color scheme, as weird as that sounds. I just did as a kid. Things that stick out to you can be kind of funny sometimes. I don't know why they haven't been as good. I think USC is the more traditional program, and I think they just haven't had the consistent coaching. So I think they get overlooked a little bit, and if you're going to have success at UCLA, you've either got to be a basketball coach or you've got to be a little bit better than your typical football coach. But there's a lot of talent around. And if I'm UCLA right now, I can walk into any California recruit's living room and be like, hey, do you want to play G5? You want to play Power 4? You're going to have to fly halfway across the country every other week. You want to play for Cal Stanford. And immediately you've eliminated 90% of your competition. Now it's you and USC. So you would think that they would get better going forward, but you never know. Anything else?
No, I'm always fascinated by it. Maybe on campus stadium might help. The Rose Bowl is very, very cool, very historic, but the students don't travel across town. Mm-hmm. It takes hours to get anywhere in LA. So, you know, maybe some of that, I don't know. It's been a long time. Terry Donahue days are coming around for a long time. Jim Moore had a little bit of success there, but they're always able, seemingly, to get a little bit of a name. The problem is, too, here with Chip Kelly, they chased him out of town. He was getting 8 wins a year. They kind of felt like that was stuck in neutral. Yeah, maybe they should learn a little lesson from some other programs maybe that I've done.
Oh, wow. Bad news box strikes. All right. Is there anything else?
No.
Nebraska, Michigan. I want to know from the folks on the text line. You can write a novel, or you can write a one-word answer. Whatever you choose, or somewhere in between if you like. Is Nebraska ready for Michigan? Yes or no? Again, couple sentences, one word, novel, whatever you like. Is Nebraska ready for Michigan? What do you think, Jake?
I think they're ready. it's just a weird place to be in. I mean, I've already been asked, you know, I was talking with Jay Foreman about it. It's like, you think the win? It's like, man, it's just tough. Nebraska fans have been in this position over and over again. We're fine. You know, you're right back to where you usually are. Hey, this is it. This is the time that it means differently. This is where they finally needed to get to. And here we are. So, I mean, I think they have what it takes to beat Michigan. But you're going to have some stats that pop up about Matt Rhule not beating top 25 opponents, about Nebraska not beating top 25 opponents. And those have weighed on me. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, that's why I'm pretty cautiously optimistic, if you put it that way.
I think my response is we're as ready as we're going to be. Cincinnati. I mean, I've heard some people refer to them as a dark horse in the Big 12. Like, they might be a contender in the Big 12. I don't know. I just have simply stated they are absolutely better than they were last year. They're absolutely a bowl team. Again, does that mean 6-6? Does that mean 10-2, 7-5, 8-4, 9-3? I don't know. But you find a way to win a game the first game of the season. You normally, in those same type of games, find a way to lose. So that's something. Then you go out and you beat Akron. And do you remember last year when the backups came in versus UTEP halfway through the third quarter? You remember how many points they scored? The last quarter and a half, I do. I'll give you a hint. It was 37-0 when they came in the game. Do you remember the final score of that game?
Was it 40?
Yeah, it was 40-7 at the end. They scored 3 points in the last quarter and a half and gave up. No, that touchdown was against our starters. It was 37-7. I apologize. So they outscored UTEP 3-0. Now, Akron's not exactly going to mollywop people in the WAC, in fact, or in the MAC. In fact, they might be one of the worst MAC teams out there, but UTEP was bad for their conference last year, too. And everyone knew they were going to be coming into the season. And we outscored our starters in that game. 35 points in the second, well, at least in the second half, we outscored what we did in the first half. 35 points to 33. This past weekend, I predicted 56-7, by the way, Jake. Final score was 59-7, so I was pretty close. I appreciate the shout out on that early in the show and recognizing me on that, Jake.
You're off. You're still off. You got to get it exactly
right. Oh.
Then we'll be impressed.
All right. All right. That's fair. That's fair.
By the way, the 7 bother you at all?
No.
Missed tackle backfield?
Okay. So does the 7 bother me? No. Because it's really hard to shut out two teams. I mean, we had 7 shutout quarters out of our last 8, regardless of who we were playing. What bothers me is the way they scored. The run, the 45-yard touchdown run. Multiple guys with bad pursuit angles, bad tackling. Just that's what bothers me. One play, fine, okay. My point is, I absolutely believe our team is better than it's been. I absolutely believe the coaching staff is as good as we've had in a long time, factoring in the coordinators. Special teams is better. Offense is more efficient. I think the backups are better, which is what I was getting at. You look at what we've done the past couple games. When the starters have been out, the backups, I feel like we have some better depth. I don't know that we have all the depth that Matt Rhule would like in a utopian world. In fact, he said that after a couple of scrimmages. Hey, the 2s through 4s got to step up a little bit, but it's better than it's been. So there's a lot of things that are better. I think Nebraska is as ready for Michigan as they're going to be. You had a game where you saw, hey, we need to work on this, 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 and this. This is what we did. While you had 2 games and 3 weeks of practice to work on it now. We still have the week of practice ahead of us. By the time we kick off 2:30 Central time on Saturday versus Michigan, you'll have had 3 weeks. I don't know what more you can realistically ask for. You could ask for the game to be later in the year, et cetera, et cetera. Michigan doesn't have their head coach. Michigan has a true freshman quarterback. The later in the year you wait, the more experience he gets. So for me, they're as ready as they're going to be. It's one of those things where I've already mentioned in the offseason, looking ahead to the Minnesota game, I can already hear it. We're going halfway across the country to Maryland. Then we got to come back home and go on a road game on a short week on a Friday night to Minnesota. No, no excuses. Get the job done. Figure it out, get it done, or get better. Okay? Like with Michigan, I'm not saying this is our Super Bowl. It is a potential launching point. It is a potential to get so many freaking monkeys off our back on one day. Now, if we don't, the monkeys are still there. I don't think the monkeys are going to drown us. I don't know if this is a perfect metaphor, but if you win, you get the monkeys off your back, and that first win when you haven't done something in a long time is always the hardest. I guarantee, had Tennessee beaten Georgia, they've now lost 9 straight times to Georgia. Had they beaten them, it would have been easier to beat them next year. The first time you do something or the first time you do something when you haven't done it in a long time, which sometimes can be more frustrating, is the hardest. Then it becomes, it's kind of like that monkey, that gorilla, that orangutan, that gigantic thing that you feel on your, that weight on your shoulders is off your back. It's easier to do it again going forward. This is an opportunity to validate a lot of the offseason talk, a lot of the preseason expectations, and just the fact, not even that we're national title contenders or college football playoff contenders. You know, if we beat Michigan, I can talk more about that next week. I've never bought into that personally. Not yet. But we can talk about, we are 4-0. We're going into a bye week. We've done a lot of things this year. We haven't done in a long time if we beat Michigan, and it is a launching point for and towards the rest of the season. That's why this is such a big game, in my humble opinion. And Nebraska's as ready as they're going to be. I don't know what more you can ask out of them from the first 3 games. You mollywop, curb stomp, and whoop sideways your last 2 opponents, which you should, and you did, and we haven't always done that. The first game of the year, you find a way to win. I don't know what more you could have asked, unless you want them to beat Cincinnati 68-0 or something. In their first 3 games, what more they could have done. Now, it's that next step. It's like you're walking up the staircase of success and you've taken the first few steps these first 3 weeks and you feel good. Now, in order to take the next step, there's a couple of boards missing and you're going to have to take a big leap, but you're ready to take that leap. And that's what this Michigan game and the potential of winning a game like this is for Nebraska.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it could be a launching point. I mean, it quite frankly is. If Nebraska wins this game, they're going to jump into the top 25. Once you're in the top 25, obviously, it's to kind of circle the college football playoffs. You look down the line, you know, the schedule down the line. Again, USC ranked now, so that's on Nebraska's schedule too. USC and Penn State, the two remaining ranked teams. But, you know, from there, games that could be winnable. So you start to count wins. I don't know if you're ready for that. If you beat, you know, Michigan, obviously you feel like you're closer to that. What a lot of people are saying on the text line and what I think is going to be the primary focus going into this game is the fact that you gave up 200 yards rushing to Cincinnati, a lot of that to their quarterback. Bryce Underwood just ran his first 100-yard game this past weekend against Central Michigan. Even more fearful to that than for me is Justice Haynes, the former Alabama running back, has now three games at Michigan, three 100-yard games, and is averaging 8 yards a pop. So the rush defense didn't look fantastic in game one. Obviously, this is a team that builds their whole team around the line of scrimmage. So Nebraska is going to have to take a significant step forward from week one. Did they do enough in the weeks in between to kind of get there? Then the other thing is, you know, you kind of flipped the opposite side. Michigan's a really good defense. Is the offense ready to score? If Nebraska's rush defense struggles a little bit, you get to a game in the 20s, 30s. Can Nebraska kind of keep up there? So that's interesting too. They got a fantastic field goal kicker, though he has struggled a little bit early on in this game. So that or in this season. So that's something to look into as well. But it seems on paper, I mean, I think Michigan's a 3-point favorite, something like that. It's anybody's ball game, but that stopping the run is what you're going to hear constantly all week long, and it's going to play a pivotal factor there on Saturday.
So we'll get into the keys of the game. All right, I'm not going to shock you if and when we get into the keys of the game with what they are. Well, not if, but when we get into the keys of the game. So as I'm looking, FanDuel has Nebraska 2.5-point underdog so this Saturday. So 2.5, 3, tomato, tomato. The keys of the game for this week are not going to shock people. But as far as what more could we do to be ready for Michigan, I mean, you're not going to walk in a bunch of 330-pound guys right now. Okay? We are the size we are. We are the team that we are. There's a lot to be excited about that. There are things that need to be improved upon. I don't think there's anything we could do to be more ready than we're going to be at this point right now. When you get into the keys of the game, and those are things I'm going to say for throughout the week, stopping the run is absolutely going to be there. The good thing for Nebraska is you had that Cincinnati game. You had a quarterback who could run. You had to deal with that. Because if you hadn't had to deal with it, you wouldn't understand how much of a problem it is, because Rule said after that game, we don't deal with that in practice. Raiola doesn't run. Gromstad doesn't run. TJ can, but it's not a major part of the offense. That was really the first time they'd seen it. If you don't see that the first game, you don't realize you need to address and fix it. So it wasn't great to see it from a fan's perspective. From a coach's perspective, you now have a chance to get better. And you can watch that first game. How do we fix this? Or how do we at least get better at it? You can watch Bryce's 100-yard rushing performance yesterday or Saturday in his game, and you can be like, all right, this is how we at least have a chance to improve on this. Had we just played three straight statues at quarterback, we might have found out on Saturday, hey, we're not great at containing the quarterback, and that's not the day you want to find that out. So at least we have a chance to get better, improve on, and address the fact that we need to get better and improve on it before Saturday gets here.
Yeah, those are very good points, and we'll see. I mean, Nebraska's defense, like you said, I know some people would be feeling better about, you know, maybe if you had some heavier guys in there. That was the talk of the offseason with Nash and Ty, of course, departing. But they can make some adjustments. I wouldn't be surprised if they work some quarterback spy into it. Maybe just bring in, you know, run more 4-3s than they traditionally do. Maybe put 5 men on the line at times against Alabama or against Michigan. So, yeah, I mean, that's all part of the coaching aspect of it. And of course, that's going to also be a big factor in this week, is Michigan doesn't not only have their head coach for game day, but he can't help them prepare throughout the week. Somebody should be out there to make sure Michigan follows the rules, because they don't always do that on that sort of thing. But I'm sure that's I'm sure it's taken care of. I'm not so sure. This is where the opportunity is there. Like you said, they feel like they're Nebraska's in a good spot. What better place to do that than, like you said, shutting out your opponents 7 out of the last 8 quarters, getting the confidence rolling. So it's here. This is where Nebraska wanted to be when we came into the year and thought, okay, when Michigan comes, Nebraska hopefully at that time is 3-0 and has kind of figured some things out, and I think they are.
All right, let's go to break. When we come back, can we have that Lexi clip ready? Or we can also do it tomorrow if we need to. Can we just save that for tomorrow?
We could.
Okay, we'll either play Lexi clip in the next segment, or we won't. Either today or tomorrow. We'll see. But I do want to chat about, do we need to do more 4-man line? Maybe we haven't shown it a lot for a reason. I mean, we've shown it, but maybe we're going to go more to it, and we've kind of saved it. A lot of defensive coaches don't like a spy. Is that something Nebraska should entertain? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.